Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Well, look who it is.
KFNC on Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station.
ESPN
97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and why wouldn't it be? Your Rockets are up 3-2, heading back to the Bay to try and close out the Golden State Warriors and make another appearance in the NBA Finals, coming off a huge victory last night, and we're here to talk about it. We're at Gatlin's Barbecue right here at 3510 Ella Boulevard. Barry is on the road in Dallas doing some comedy. Therefore, my good friend bringing you the sultry sounds that we're going to be harmonizing with me, my man Nate Griffin, as it's Ebony Ivory for 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Right. What's up, man?
Hey, man, it's all good. It's good to be on your show again. Last time I was with you and Nick, it was a wonderful time. Looking forward to talking about these Rockets today and Santa Fe and the effect that they had on the Rockets last night. You can't get around that. I don't care how you try. You can't get around that.
From start to finish, a feel-good story by all, with the exception of about, say, 10 seconds to 20 seconds in the late fourth quarter when everybody held their collective breath, the word just coming out of practice, Chris Paul is officially out for Game 6 at Golden State, hopeful that they'll reevaluate when they get ready for Game 7 if it is necessary. But the Rockets already scheming and planning for a little lineup shakeup. As to me, you have the regular season MVP. But if you want to talk about the leader and the heart and the soul of the Houston Rockets, you're looking at CP3 and you're saying that could be devastating.
He's your defensive guru, master, however you want to put it. He's the guy who brings the toughness to the team. This is what the team lacked last year. Remember when they played San Antonio in the playoffs and people just dogged James Harden?
Poo-pooed.
Oh, my goodness, because he needed that spark, and he's got it now. But the good thing about one Chris Paul is that he can also score. We've seen this thus far, and he's probably one of the biggest reasons why they won that game last night. I thought Eric Gordon played extremely well. They needed him to be the leader on that team last night. Certainly that's what he did. But if you don't have Chris Paul at Oracle Arena tomorrow night, you do have problems. So you want him for Game 7 for sure.
Now, we're going to break it down throughout the show. We want you to participate. So right off the top, we're going to tell you how to reach us, and that would be at 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us via text message, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Color Analyst, as we will be interacting with you guys throughout the show. We know there's a lot to get to, but the thing that really stuck out to me, other than the fact that the points you were making, Nate, is – this doesn't look like the Golden State Warriors. This looks like the Charlotte Hornets on a Wednesday night in November. They took quick shots. They took rushed shots. They took off-balance shots. It was not pretty basketball by either team by any stretch of the imagination, but that's not the Golden State Warriors pedigree that you've seen over the last 3 years.
No, not at all. But you had to appreciate the fire with which the Rockets came out and played. They came out with defensive intensity. They came out with offensive intensity. They attacked the basket. They took a lot of shots that they missed. And I felt early on, as the analyst pointed out during the course of the game, they had an opportunity to have a double-digit lead and failed to get that. All was a Rockets team that played so well defensively that because of the way the Golden State Warriors played last night, and quite frankly, I think that they might have been a little shaken from the pregame show. from the fact that Santa Fe was in there. That building was electric last night.
It was. It was.
And I really think that it might have taken them out of their game just a little bit because the Rockets came out and played with so much electricity and fervor to start the game. So probably because of that, and you saw guys were not hot early. Curry wasn't hot early.
Uh-huh.
Nobody was really hot early, and they decided to go with an ISO game, as we've been talking about, with Kevin Durant. They tried to ISO Kevin Durant. He was there, really, in my opinion, their only offense in the first half of that game.
Now, this is why we're here, because I'm going to be the counterpoint to your point, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be the guy that's going to give you the other side of the equation, too, because what I saw, too, was a team that started playing rocketball.
Yep.
I saw a team so enamored with what Kevin Durant brought to the table with the matchups, they got away from the off-the-ball movement, the backdoor cuts, all the different things that make them Warriors basketball. And they started getting stagnant. They started slowing the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't playing their way. And then, to your point on all the momentum in that building in the first half said Rockets, but yet we were in a one-point game at the half.
That's right.
And you're like, if you're Golden State, you're licking your chops, you're celebrating, and you're going, we're going to do what we do, which we've done in the last couple games, the third quarter, led by Steph Curry in the last couple games. Mm-hmm. We're going to come out blazing, and we're going to take control of this game. And that didn't happen. So we're seeing a little bit of contradiction to what the experts portrayed as the way this script was going to play out. But now the only way it plays out if you're Golden State is you come back and you say what they said postgame, which is we fully believe we'll be back here. Draymond Green says we'll see you for Game 7. Steve Kerr coming out for some ungodly reason and saying, I love the way where we're at. You guys might not understand that.
Yeah.
I love the way we're at.
Heard that.
I don't know how you make that statement based on this team being so far from what the Golden State Warriors by definition have been over the last 3 years. With fast tempo, but with the movement, getting the open shots, cutting through the basket. And I don't want to hear any excuses about Andre Iguodala. Because you, at this point in the season, you go to war with who is on your floor and on your bench and on your squad. And if you're in street clothes, hey, grab some pom-poms. But we can't worry about you. And so that's what we're going to see now. They're going to hope he comes back. The Rockets are going to have to deal without Chris Paul. But now it is going to be the supporting cast, which we've said all along was a key to this series, is going to be even bigger as we get into these final games of the series.
You talk about a guy like P.J. Tucker, but I want to get back to Steve Kerr's comment. I think it's a psych job, quite frankly.
Do you?
I think what he's doing is trying to make sure his guys don't get down. Now, they are the defending champs, and I know that Andre Iguodala not being in that lineup does throw off their
rotation.
But regardless of the fact that it throws off their rotation, they still have plenty of guys who can come off the bench and do the job. And we saw that last night. We saw a guy like Quinn Cook come off the bench. Sean Livingston came off the bench. Nick Young came off the bench. Jordan Bell came off the bench. Those guys are supposed to fill the shoes for one Andre Iguodala. Didn't happen last night.
Well, Quinn Cook, it's one thing to put him in like he did in a stretch in game two or three for, you know, a 10 minutes. But when you get clutch, big-time, wide-open looks, and
right.
you clank off two threes, now you're under the microscope. Because now, if the lineup wasn't tweaked because of all the different guys out and for whatever reason, you got guys that are looking forward to that shot. You could tell he tightened up a little bit. Believe me, playoff experience means something this time of the year, and he has not had that kind of playoff experience.
Last night was a big night for, I think, the Golden State Warriors. And it kind of showed you where their weaknesses were. Quinn Cook was 0 for 3.
Yep.
He was 0 for 3 from three-point land. He should have been able to knock down one or two of those threes. That's what they count on him to do. Come off the bench, hit the three. I don't care if you haven't played 20, 30 minutes. That's your job. That's not what he did last night. A couple of things. Again, the Rockets bring in the defensive pressure. The building, I think, the environment in the building, and it was a huge game for him. I'm not quite sure if he's seen an environment like what they saw last night. And I'm sure Golden State Warriors played a lot of big games.
Yep.
When you talk about environment, the Rockets, I thought, had it last night, and certainly Quinn Cook
and they
didn't
needed
answer
it because
bell.
We know that leading up to this series, the fans have been casual in the way they've shown up, casual in the way they've left,
yep.
casual in the way they've gotten there after halftime. Not last night. Not from the get-go. As you mentioned, it got off on the right foot with the honoring of the Santa Fe High School
yep.
and the seniors and the choir and everything like that. And then it just took momentum right through the first half where there were times, look, for as bad as we said Golden State played where they had their opportunities, you're absolutely – look, the Rockets had so many opportunities that if they get a couple shots to fall here or there, there's no reason to believe they're not up 13 points going into the half.
I agree. Do you know the Rockets had more second-chance points than the Warriors? And what are the Warriors good at doing? rebounding.
Transition.
That's right, transition. If one guy doesn't hit the three, another guy hits the three. They only had 4 second-chance points. Fast break points, 12. Rockets had 2. That's normally what they do, fast break points. Sometimes they have more than that, but in this particular occasion last night, that's not what we saw. 16 lead changes. Hey, man, it was a big night, big win for the Houston Rockets, I thought, and they came through in flying colors.
It's an F yeah Friday, and everybody is F yeah on the Rockets because they won last night. They're up 3-2 in the series, and we've got plenty to talk about over the next 3 hours as you get in on the show as well. It's Nate Griffin. It's Joel Blank. We are coming to you live from Gatlin's Barbecue right here at 3510 Ella. Come on in and see us. They're open till 3. We'll stay here till 4. And in the meantime, we love our friends at Hawk Security who have made this all possible. Rocky and JC and the guys are here as well. Stop in, see us. The promo team is here as well. Pick up some stuff. We're going to have some giveaways and lots of fun. It's the usual suspects on a Friday right here at Gatlin's Barbecue on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, as we mentioned, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Why not get out and enjoy the peeps as well as the fine weather outside in a Chamber of Commerce kind of day? The Rockets win last night. Everybody's sunshine and roses on a Friday here at Gatlin's Barbecue right here at 3510 Ella. Brought to you by Hawk Security, our good friends here that have a lot going on. And like we said, we're the gift that keeps on giving. So you stop in. We've got all kinds of drawings. From the station perspective, you can win tickets to WWE Raw on June the 4th. From Hawk Security's perspective, we got 3 2 packs to give away to Skeeter's Games, which is tickets and food. We've got three $50 packages to Top Golf, which is 6 people for 1 hour at Top Golf. So make sure you come on by, register, grab yourself some stuff as well. We got lots of freebies, koozies, and things. And have some fun with us as we're here till 4 o'clock talking. Of course, Rockets. Astros got a win last night, so we'll talk some baseball and some other things. And by the way, ex-Rocket and Rice University basketball star Michael Harris is going to stop by here in about 15 minutes or so. Join us for a segment or two. We'll talk some basketball with him, get his opinion on what's going on in both series. And again, if you guys have questions you want to join in, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at Color Analyst. And you know, for me and Nick, it's at the producer Nick and at Pac-Man Joel with the K. So what else is on your mind, Nate, with this series? Because plenty to get to. I thought defense was a key. I don't think when you saw the top two offenses in basketball lined up for a seven-game series that anybody anticipated defense was going to be the theme. It might have been key in the fourth quarter, but defense was a theme throughout this game, and the Rockets really stepped up in the way they played defense.
I think when you look at how they were able to somewhat limit Golden State, when you look at how they shot the ball, Golden State from three-point line shot 38.5%. 10 of 26. Not great, but that's what you get when the Rockets defend. The Rockets were 13 of 43. You can actually say that Golden State might have defended a little bit better, but that's not the case. The fact of the matter is the Rockets missed a plenty of three-point shot opportunities. But I thought a lot of things that they did to limit Curry and to limit Klay Thompson as well, even though Klay Thompson got 23, Curry got 22, both a little short from what they're normally used to or accustomed to scoring. I thought that they did a nice job of being able to stay in front of their man and not just giving up the free shot or giving up the free basket opportunity for them.
Remember what I said? I'm going to be your counterpoint to every one of your points and all that?
Yes.
Here's my deal. It's got to come up, and I'll be the guy to do it. I've never been shy about being the bad guy in the past, but what the hell's going on with James Harden again? And you can say elimination James. You can say playoff James. You can say all you want. And I've said over and over again, he is your regular season MVP. There is a reason why I started this show by saying the most valuable player on this team as a leader, as a guy that's going to grab the bull by the horns late games, is Chris Paul. James Harden has missed his last 23 pointers. James Harden, for large stretches of that game last night, Could have been Harry Houdini the way he disappeared. And I'm looking at the rest of this team. Thank God Gerald Green came in, and even though they look like they're forced and bad and terrible and off-balance shots, he knocked down a couple.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon, as you mentioned, came up big when they needed him. But Mike D'Antoni's only going now to a seven-man rotation, and now you have one of those men out for the next game in Chris Paul. This is where you either get a Herculean James Harden effort to kind of reset the James Harden reputation in the playoffs, or there's going to be a lot of people pointing fingers because this is time to shine now that Chris Paul is on the side.
Ooh, see, that scares me because now that Chris Paul is on the sideline for game six, you have to ask yourself, okay, how much do you really want James Harden to exert himself at Oracle Arena with a seven-man, allegedly an alleged seven-man rotation? How much do you want him to exert himself? You want to see him play well, but you know, game seven, to be quite honest with you, and I'm sure the Rockets would like to at least try to win game six. You don't want to go in there and throw in the towel. That's not what you want to do. That's not what I'm advocating. But what I'm saying is you don't have your number one guy at your point. You don't have him. You don't have Chris Paul for this particular game. So who's going to be the guy to step up in Chris Paul's place while he's out?
But you know, just like Golden State realizes, the Rockets are going to ISO and run the high pick and roll to get Curry isolated so they can take advantage. Golden State has targeted James Harden. They have tried to get the pick and roll. They have tried to get the switch so that they can get their best players scoring on James Harden. If you're asking him or saying, hey, he might want to take it back a notch just to make sure he doesn't overexert, that's an open invitation for Golden State to get back what they haven't been able to do, which is lots of movement, lots of fast tempo, lots of quick scores at the basket. I don't know, man. Here's the thing. I got two words for you when I think of this injury to Chris Paul, and that's Ricky Rubio. Because Ricky Rubio played his tail off to get the Jazz to that matchup with the Rockets. And with that hamstring injury, no matter what it looked like, no matter what they said, he never played in the series. And that's what scared me. The reaction that I saw from Chris Paul from the time he hit the floor to the time he talked to Keith Jones and walked off to the bench was not one of, I need to get back out there or I'm going to be okay. Regardless of what he said to the media, there's going to be some gamesmanship. You could read and feel the dejection in every body language you saw from facial expressions to otherwise.
Was that D'Antoni who said that he didn't seem to feel that Chris was feeling positive at all? Now, remember that he had post-game treatment on that hamstring, and I'm hearing, or I heard this morning, that he may be able to go in game seven.
Now look,
that's what I'm hearing.
The track record said in the past, Chris Paul with a bad hamstring has taped it up and played really well.
Yeah.
So it is possible, but I'm just saying, based on body language, based on the face of just complete, like someone just sucked every bit of happiness out of him for a guy that should be all over what was going to be a huge monumental win.
Right.
And I know Keith Jones well. I know that organization well, and I see when Keith is trying to console a guy, the kind of different phases of his body language too. That scares me because to me, if you're going to win this series, you got to have Chris Paul. I don't care if he's limping around, because this goes back to the Clyde Drexler game in Phoenix during the Clutch City second year, when Clyde couldn't get out of bed, needed an IV. No one thought he'd even show up. And what he did was he showed up. He got his locker room motivated. He played about 12 minutes.
Yep.
But he put such a fire in everybody else's rear end that they were not going to let that team lose. That's what you want to see. If it's not six, it's got to be in seven. But he's got to somehow be back in uniform before the end of this series if they think, in my opinion, if they're going to win.
He will be at Oracle Arena on tomorrow night, so it's good to see that he's going to be traveling with the team. But my concern is, look, you know it's going to be an uphill battle at Oracle. And I'm not advocating throwing the towel. But you don't know how many minutes you're going to need James Harden for in Game 7. There is going to be a Game 7, I do believe.
I'm with you.
Okay, so you don't know how many minutes you're going to need him for. You don't know if you're going to have Chris Paul back 100% healthy. You don't know any of that. So many unknowns. And to know that he might come back, that doesn't do anything for me. I know it doesn't do anything for me at all. So I guess my deal is, look, Clint Capella, let's see what you can do, big boy.
Well, somebody's got to step up.
Somebody's got to be the key. But see what Golden State has done. They've kind of taken away the pick and roll. They've sort of taken away from
but
the Rockets.
But they've also kind of eliminated the big man. Because if
really
you look
have.
At what the Rockets did late in the fourth quarter when they were playing defense, they didn't have a big man. Their biggest man was P.J. Tucker.
They went small.
Yeah.
They did go
so
small.
We're going to continue to talk about this. Like I said, Rice University basketball player in the Hall of Fame at Rice, former Rocket, big-time great dude. And
yes,
Mike
sir.
Harris is going to join us, so we'll break down some basketball with him as well at some point during the show. We're at Gatlin's Barbecue. We're going to continue to roll on. We're brought to you by Hawk Security. So we have all kinds of stuff here for you if you stop in and see us. And, Nick, we want to get your impressions. You were there live and in color at the game last
cool.
night. Your impressions as well when we get back from this break. So don't go anywhere. It's much more of the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. First hour of the show. It's the three-hour extravaganza. If we don't call it the big show, we call it by its title, which is The Usual Suspects. Nate Griffin, so nice to join us on an FEF Friday with Barry out of town in Dallas doing some of his comedy. Talking a lot about the Rockets today with good reason after going up 3-2 in the series. If anybody's interested in a great place to watch the game tomorrow night for Game 6, Toyota Center's the place to be. The Rockets announcing that Game 6 is going to host the viewing party inside the Toyota Center Bowl on the big screen TV. Scoreboard, general admission tickets, $10 each, with all proceeds going to Santa Fe High School. So that's a big deal. Parking is free in the garage. The money going to the Santa Fe Strong Memorial Fund. Doors open at 7. Free parking, Tundra Garage. Trying to generate some more support for the good folks of Santa Fe and the kids that endured so much. So hopefully that'll be something that'll motivate some people to get out there. Nick said he's thinking about going with that, too. I wanted to get Nick in here. Nick, you were there last night. You heard what Nate and I had to say early on, but what do you got going in your breakdown of what happened last night?
Man, the crowd was definitely the loudest that I've seen all year, so that was a good thing. I really thought the Santa Fe aspect was super cool, just seeing the 300 students that attended to the game. You just see how innocent those kids look. I was just so shocked to see them in person. That kind of touched me. So I like that part. But in terms of the game, it really wasn't the most exciting game. I mean, especially in the first half, there was very poorly executed offense on both sides. It kind of became a defensive battle, which is cool and maybe what the Rockets need to do if they're going to beat this Warriors squad. Gordon had a really good game. And I also think Ariza, who I kind of expected all season to pick it up in the postseason from an offensive standpoint, did a really good job defensively on Kevin Durant. So I don't know how much they're going to utilize him with the advent of Chris Paul's injury and the fact that he's not playing. I don't know how much time he's going to get. I assume he's going to get a bunch of minutes. But I really appreciated the defensive effort out of Trevor Ariza. And hopefully they can hit their shots. And hopefully with James Harden missing the last 23 pointers, like you mentioned, he'll actually make some early on the road in Golden State.
Here's what I'm going to say, Nick, too. The other thing is, because I'm not Harden bashing, but I'm saying this is a time where he really can, he can put a lot of the boo birds of the past behind him. But the one thing that people really have to pay attention to is this is the first time in James Harden's career, and he's done it before we're looking at Game 6.
I know what you're going to say.
He has handed the ball off willingly and let someone else lead. Yep. Dwight Howard couldn't get that done. And Dwight proved that over time he didn't deserve to have the opportunity to get that done. He just wasn't the same player. James has been very, very hesitant in the past to hand over the reins, even on a part-time basis, to someone else. He's willingly doing that, and you're reaping the benefits because Chris Paul is showing you why he is the point guard, why he is the Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Because when he takes over, James gets those cold spells, and in the past we saw James, even if he missed six shots, he was going to miss six more. Possession by possession, if James struggles and doesn't have a good possession, Chris goes and takes it out of the net gets it in the backcourt, and he will make sure they get what they need in terms of a good possession. That's huge for this team.
Man, they have great communication, and I think that's where it all starts. But not only is Chris Paul the guy who has come to play, Eric Gordon.
Yeah, for sure.
That guy has brought his game. And when you looked at what he did last night, the big three at the end of the game there to kind of secure it for the Rockets, that was huge. And that's what you have to have. When Chris Paul's not on his game or he needs somebody else to help out, that guy has been the guy. That's what we've seen. Another guy playing a big role for this Rockets team who has, in my opinion, surprised a lot of people, P.J. Tucker. Yeah. P.J. Tucker has hit some really, really big shots throughout the playoffs. I like seeing that. Gerald Green has been another. He was big with the two three-pointers he hit last night. Big time.
Gerald
they need
Green's
those guys.
Defense was very underrated last night.
Absolutely.
For sure. With that being said, you guys have been patient holding, so we want to get some calls. Ben wants to get in here on Warriors and Rockets. Ben, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
So I was calling. I was going to touch on what y'all kind of started off the show about with how this doesn't really look like the normal Warriors team with the movement and the passing and the backdoor cuts and things like that. And it's one thing that I kind of thought might happen. I mean, I didn't think it would be this effective, but I thought it might happen going into the series. And then I don't remember. It was either Draymond Green or Kevin Durant said it after game two, that because of all the switching, that it's constantly anytime one person goes around another, whether it's a screen or just a rub or anything, they're instantly switching those things. So whenever you switch, if one guy's going to be cutting back door behind somebody else, then the guy that's going to be switching to him is already between him and the ball. I mean, him and the basket. So whenever they are going to do the switching and things like that, it just doesn't open up a lot of room for the backdoor cuts and the coming off screens and everything because the guy is essentially already there waiting on him. And so I think it was Draymond Green that touched on it after game two. And so it's just a lot harder to get those type of backdoor and get those type of looks whenever the guy, like I said, the guy's sitting there waiting on you. And then that's why you end up with the isolation, and because the best bet whenever they're switching is just find a matchup that you feel like you can take advantage of and then just attack that rather than just kind of running circles right into the guy waiting for you.
Based on what I've seen, the Rockets have done a pretty good job of taking that away. Those backdoor cuts, they've done it. Now, you know, they allowed
Warriors
a few of them.
Helping.
They're helping them, no question. I think the Rockets have done a good job. At least the awareness is there, and that's what you need more than anything else, the awareness. Oftentimes, you look up, backdoor cut. What happened? Whose man was that? How do you not double-team that? I mean, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, but I think the Rockets have done a pretty good job of being able to do that. And when the Warriors do go in isolation mode, who do they go to? Kevin Durant.
That's where I was going with this. Look, the secret to your success can also be the detriment to your offense, because Kevin Durant proved in this playoffs, and they said shooting over a chair last series with Drew Holiday, but when he gets a smaller guy on him, and especially early in this series, he has excelled. So the Warriors continue to go to that. But when they go to that, he becomes rocket ball. He starts pounding the ball into the ground, trying to get down to the low post, trying to get the advantage with a post move, and all of a sudden the shot clock's below five. And what's the recipe for disaster if you're the Rockets? Shot clock below five, no movement on the offensive end. And it's like Kevin Durant is the victim of his own success in stagnating the Warriors' offense.
He was 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter last night. 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter last night. And the Rockets limited the Warriors to 12 points in the fourth quarter. So you look at how they play defensively, and that's what you say. Okay, Rockets, if you can do that at Oracle Arena Saturday night, you might give yourself a shot to win even without Chris Paul. So last night, that's what we saw. You're right. When they go to that ISO ball, if the Rockets can force that, continue to force that in Game 6 and Game 7, I think they have a
You're
pretty
going
good recipe.
Too far now.
Maybe. I understand.
They can end this in 6 if they play their cards right.
If they play their cards right.
Ifs, buts, candies, nuts.
You know?
I've always said if my aunt had outdoor plumbing, she'd be my uncle. So there you go. I mean, there's things that you got
to
kind of contemplate.
You don't want to be your uncle, though, do you? I don't think you want that because you wouldn't have gotten all the goodies you got.
You never know. Troy wants to get in here talk a little Rockets before we get to the break. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Troy?
Hey, Troy.
Hey, man. Joe, you touched on James Harden and Chris being out. So my question is knowing he's out maybe for two games and clearly the weight of the Rockets on James Harden's back now, shoulders, does this define his Does this define him?
Define him clearly on define him now. In what regard, Troy? Because look,
legacy?
Well, here's the thing, and I've said this over and over again, Nate, and I don't know if you heard it in the past or not, but I said reputations are built in the regular season. Legacies are built in the playoffs. James Harden's regular season reputation is solidified. Three of the last 4 years in the top two in the running for MVP, probably should have already won one, going to win one this year. So that's already solidified. But in terms of his playoffs, we know what happened in Game 6 last year. We know what happened in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors when he broke the record for turnovers in the game and passed the ball to Dwight Howard for the last shot when he had a chance to win it early in the series. I think it can press the reset button, Troy, because we're looking at this like and talking about it like this is the end of his career. I anticipate this is the start of another run where James is going to have a lot of playoff appearances, a lot of deep runs, but this can press the reset button and get him on the straight and narrow going towards that building of a legacy.
I think you got to do it right now because how many times do you get to a Western Conference final? You know, that's the thing. You want to get there right now. You don't want to wait. Pieces of a team change from year to year. You know, you have to look at where the Rockets are now. Who are they going to be able to keep next year? And I think if he can get it done right now, you're right. Legacies are made in the postseason. He knows he has limited time to create that legacy. He knows his time is now. And I just hope that he's not feeling the pressure of Chris Paul being out of the game for Saturday. I hope he understands what he has to be able to do and at least give the Rockets an opportunity to win.
And to your point earlier, not try and do too much.
Right.
Because when he tries to do too much, that's when he gets into the dribble mode. That's when he gets into wearing down the shot clock. That's when others get kind of stagnant. They can't have that, right, Nick? I mean, look, we've said all along, role players have to play a key in this series now more than ever.
And that's the reason why I wanted Gordon, and Ariza's not necessarily a role player, but I expected a lot from Gordon and Ariza. Now I'm starting to think that perhaps you could sacrifice some offense from Ariza for the defensive effort that he's had. But, yeah, role players are important. Yesterday, the bench outscored the Warriors, but you can credit a lot of that to Eric Gordon and Eric Gordon being checked in earlier than normal because Mike D'Antoni clearly handled the rotation a little bit differently in this particular game. So role players are incredibly important, and especially against a team like the Warriors if they have a chance, no question.
Now, we're coming up on a break, but I want to get both of your guys' opinion on this before we go to break, okay? I've had some of the national people that I've talked to tell me that Mike D'Antoni's making a huge mistake only keeping his rotation at 7. Now with Paul out at 6, you probably assume one guy's going to get some more run. But is that too short of a rotation? We've seen this in the past. Has he shortened it too much when he now needs more depth because of injury?
That's coming after the break or now?
You guys can go now.
Okay, here's the deal. The way the Rockets play, 6 is not enough. You know, that when you want to get into a pace with the Golden State Warriors, and occasionally they do get into that pace, that's when you run guys ragged. And so the Rockets don't have enough bodies to be able to do that if you're going to cut the rotation down by 1. You're going to lose Chris Paul, your rotation's now down by 1. It's down to 6. You need that extra guy.
Nick?
How many times have they played with a 6-man rotation? That's just a dangerous move, in my opinion.
I agree
with Nate. You're just going to wear your players out. If you really do stick to a 6-man rotation, it's just going to be too tiring for them. And then when they get fatigued, not only do they not execute on offense, but they don't make the right decisions. And I think that's going to really hurt them if they stick to a 6-man rotation.
With you.
Yeah,
completely.
No doubt about it. So we can continue to talk about it. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. We were supposed to have Mike Harris on from Rice University and former Rocket. He missed his window, so unless we can get someone to pry it open and their house isn't protected by Hawk security, we'll have to try and move on. But anyway, Mike Harris.
Mike has to get Hawk security right now, right?
Yeah. Okay. Mike Harris just walked in. Forget about what time he was supposed to be here. Mike Harris joins us next, the Hall of Famer from Rice University, the former Rocket. We'll talk some more hoops with Mike Harris, Nick, and Nate, and myself on an FEF Friday. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is a Renters Warehouse.com roadshow, live from Gatlin's Barbecue on Ella. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, Barry on the road doing some comedy in Dallas. Nate, my man, Griffin, filling in as the Ebony and Ivory show is an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects.
Only you.
And because it's black and white and it's a gray area, we bring in my good friend Mike Harris, who is a Hall of Famer at Rice. He is a former Rocket. He's a world traveler, but he is a Houston guy, and always a pleasure to have Mike in on the show. Mike, thanks so much for being here. You know I give you a hard time because I love you, but I appreciate you stopping in, man.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Quick story.
Okay.
So we did the event at Rice, the 2017 Hall of Fame event.
Okay.
I emceed that event that inducted Mike into the Hall of Fame. And they were running highlights of Mike in college, right?
Yeah.
At Rice.
Yep.
Look up, and there's Mwa. It was an ESPN game that we actually broadcasted, and Mike killed it that night. I don't remember how many points he scored, but I just remember I couldn't remember ever doing any of his games, and boom, there it was.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I was
great player at Rice.
No question about it. You missed it.
Great.
Were sleeping on it, but the fact of the matter was, if it wasn't just at Rice, it was validated by the fact that he played with the Houston Rockets, mm-hmm. He's still playing, had a great career, Mike. You have been around this organization. You've seen this Rockets team. Your impressions of what went down last night, what's been going down in this series?
I think it's just a credit to how hard they've been working all year. I know a lot of people probably doubted them with Golden State having, you know, four All-Stars and, you know, a lot of future Hall of Famers. But just shows that, you know, any given night, you know, you leave it all out on the floor. I think they played a great team defense. Both teams struggled offensively, but defensively they did a great job. You know, James wasn't on, but he made some great decisions, you know, after the isolation and, you know, passing the ball, that big three at the end with Eric Gordon, you know. So
yeah.
It just shows that, you know, it's going to be a dogfight the entire series.
You know what you probably mentioned it. The defense on Draymond Green, those couple of steals, that was great. It was great seeing James Harden play that kind of defense.
Yeah, it was. People, you know, you get all the knocks on him throughout the, you know, throughout his career being there with the Rockets about, you know, he only cares about offense and stuff like that. But I think this team, they're really gelled together, and they've all bought in to the concept. And, you know, and when it was time, they got the stops that they needed to help them win the game.
Now, we've been talking about the series, and I said one of the things that Golden State has fallen prey to is the early success of Kevin Durant has made Golden State try to emulate the Rockets' offense. They get stagnant. They give the ball to KD in the post. They stop the movement. The shot clock starts going down. And all of a sudden, you're not playing Warriors basketball anymore because now those backdoor cuts are gone and those guys cutting through the lane are non-existent. And if KD doesn't score, now they're caught in transition and the Rockets are playing their game. It seems like they've played right into the Rockets' hands from that regard.
Yes, I definitely agree. It's hard in some situations. You know, some nights Steph hasn't had it going, and you know, and at that time, that's when they usually go to Kevin Durant. And so now, like you said, when they start getting stagnant, and then all of a sudden you want these guys to turn it on, and the Rockets' defensive intensity is increasing. You know, PJ Tucker's being really physical with him. You know, they have a lot of guys that they can send at him, which is also wearing him down as well, and then you're keeping those guys isolated. And I mean, it's a great strategy by the Rockets.
But I've said, as much as Harden is the regular season MVP, the heart, soul, and leadership of this team is Chris Paul. And now you're taking him out after what he's done to put you in this position. How big, because now we're talking about a guy like James that doesn't have that option to hand the reins off to his sidekick. Now it's how much pressure is, which has already been there because you know people are going to criticize him, but now how much pressure is on James Harden's shoulders?
A lot. More than before. But, you know, the good thing about James, I think, you know, he's a scorer. And when you're a scorer, you know, you only need one to go in. You know, I know they're talking about how many threes he's missed consecutively and everything, but you only need one to fall. And if it falls on the when you're away on this road game, and then you got all these guys on the bench who've been waiting to step up, it's a perfect opportunity for them. That's been the good thing about them during the regular season. They have a great bench, and you know, any given night, it's time for someone else to step up.
All right, Mike, I'm going to put you in a real difficult situation here. You're a smart guy. Graduated from Rice. You're a smart guy, okay? But I want to ask you, you're also an NBA guy. So it comes down to logic and common sense sometimes. In this particular game, you're playing at Oracle Arena. All right? I'm setting you up. You see where it's coming. You see where I'm going, right? You're playing at Oracle Arena, all right? And you don't have Chris Paul. I'm not saying you concede the game. What I'm saying is you look to see if you have an opportunity and if the matchups work to your advantage. If they're not working early, when do you make the decision to pull the plug? Or do you go in thinking, guys, if we get down early, we're just going to play and just play and just play and go home? Mo, Mike, you're up.
Just what you wanted, Mike.
I've never been that way, and I don't think anyone on the team is going to want to give up the game. I think if you're going into the fourth quarter.
Wait, let me – hang on. Game seven in the wings. That's what I meant. Might get Chris Paul back, okay? Game seven in L.A. There you go. I need to finish that question. Go ahead.
I think in the fourth quarter, if you're down 20, then you have to think about game seven. But within the game, if the game's, 9 to 10 or 12 points, anything's possible. So I think, those guys will feel very comfortable, 6 minutes ago, down by 10. You have a chance, three stops, three scores, and you're right back in the game. But, if these guys in Oracle get going and, you're down 25 to start the fourth, I think you play with your bench and see what happens. If they make an impact, allow the starters
Clippers
to get back
six.
In.
Or not. Goes back to Clippers game six when the Rockets made that comeback. They made the comeback because they did exactly what you said. James was sitting. They got the energy from the second unit. The Corey Brewers, the Josh Smiths of the world got them back in it and were able to get them over the top to get it, and then they won game seven. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all breaks down. And I know we'll have you talk some more basketball, but break it down a little bit, too. But you got some stuff going on here back in the community that's big, too, around basketball. So break it down for us a little bit.
2 years ago, we started a combine called Opportunity of a Lifetime, and it's for collegiate seniors. Majority of, you got the top five power conferences, so you have a lot of NBA draft picks being out of there. So we focus more on the other 27 conferences and kind of pointed out specific seniors who were excelling, points, rebounds, assists, things of that nature. And we're inviting them to a combine where you're going to have, scouts, general managers, owners, coaches from the G League, NBA, and overseas, and kind of giving them an opportunity to showcase their ability. There hasn't been, outside of the NBA Combine in Portsmouth.
I was going to say the Portsmouth Invitational was always that thing.
Yeah, there's nothing else to really showcase for these overseas scouts and guys to go. Majority of the guys go overseas then to the NBA every single year. And so what I wanted to do is kind of focus on getting them into something to showcase their ability, but also teach them about the things that are about to come once you graduate college, financial, we have a financial advisor, we have a players panel where they can talk and interact with different players who've been playing back and forth overseas in the NBA. So you can kind of ask questions, understanding contracts and things of that nature.
This is where you take your experiences and you try and help out guys going to be in the same position, because you were that guy. You were Mr. Everything at Rice, and you weren't getting the proper attention so that you could get that opportunity. This gives these guys this opportunity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I thought about. And I've been thinking about it for some years, and I finally got the right guys to help me, kind of put this thing together. And it's just nobody knows anything when you're going over there. You're 20, 21 years old, and all of a sudden you're going overseas, and you don't understand anything about a contract. You don't understand that, you're going to get hit up by your family and your friends asking you to borrow money. How much should you be putting away, each month getting prepared for the summer? If you go overseas for 6 to 8 months and you're only making $5,000 a month and you didn't look at your contract and you've got to pay for your cell phone and you've got to pay for your food, and now you come back and instead of having $30,000, you've got $15,000, but you're here for another 5 months before you go back, So it's just kind of helping them prepare and understand it, because my first year I went through it and I suffered significantly because I didn't go with the financial advisor. I didn't understand it. I thought just because, I went to Rice and, I understand math and economics and I can do this by myself. And then I started to learn that borrow means half. You know, so what someone borrows, they, you know, they're not going to give it back. So, you know, just kind of educating them and helping them understand that, and, you know, getting prepared for the things that you're going to face overseas, all the adversity. You know, you're going to be away from everyone, and, you know, just the lifestyle, the weather, different things like that, to try to help them be prepared.
Well, that's good stuff. And we'll get you on the flip side. We're going to get more information on how people get more information on that combine. We'll continue to talk a little basketball with Mike Harris. Before we get done with the first hour, though, I want to tell you about my good friends at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time here in the Houston area. It is the people of Houston making donations to help kids in the Houston area get a second chance at an education. Whether you lost a vehicle in the hurricane or you just got one collecting dust and junk and rust in a field or in the backyard and you want to get rid of it but you don't want to pay the extra money for a tow truck, now you don't have to worry about it anymore. All you do is pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226, log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with the tow truck. They tow it away free of charge. They do all the paperwork. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And then the process really begins, because your donation is turned into what can be distractions for kids trying to get their degree. Suddenly they become resources. So if they're hungry, they get warm meals. If they can't get to school, they get bus fare. If they can't see the books, they get eyeglasses. And if they can't buy the books, they get the money to do so. It's all part of a great program, and it all stays right here in the community in Houston, Texas. So that's why we ask, if you can donate, please be a part of the program. Again, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.